Welcome into Hall of Lame. I'm Trey Benson. I'm joined by my good friend, as usual, Jason Melia. How you doing, Jason?
What's up? Nothing much. Enjoying the cold.
You guys getting snow down there?
No, not yet. My sister sent me a picture of the snow up in Bellingham, but that's it. It actually looked pretty up there, but I'm guessing it's pretty shitty for traffic and whatnot.
Yeah, I'm up in Everett, so we actually got a bit of snow last night. Seattle pretty much shuts down at the first sight of snow.
Yeah, I imagine everybody driving to work with all that slush and stuff. People just not knowing how to drive. I can imagine.
Yeah, so I stayed home and worked from home for the day, but we'll see if we get snow tonight. If I have an excuse not to go to work anymore.
It's like a school day.
Well, I got work from home still.
Oh, that's rough. Yeah. You got like a remote desktop and everything like
that. That's how real life is. That's how real life gets. No more school days. All right, let's jump into the rewind. So the NFL divisional round took place this weekend. I think it was a pretty good set of games. I think the wild card was much more exciting. But just to quickly recap all the games, the Niners beat the Vikings 27-10, pretty much dominated on the defensive end. The Titans upset the Ravens 28-12. Chiefs completed a pretty crazy comeback in the win over the Texans 51-31.
Yeah, it was a great first half.
It was a crazy first half. And then the Packers topped the Seahawks 28-20. Wilson's comeback bid comes up short late. Jumping into the NBA just a little bit, we're going to touch on our Blazers. It's been a rough season so far. We were in that eighth spot holding on to it for a while. And then, the wheels just fell off. And past 10 games, we've gone 2 of 8. Read some stats earlier that we're dead last in assists and passes per game.
It's a lot of ISO.
Yeah, it's the Dame Lillard show and McCollum show, but it's just not working out for them. Too many injuries.
Yeah, there's no defense on our team. It's just kind of rough. When nothing's going, we pass to Carmelo and ISO, and that's about it. If we can't run a play, it just falls flat, and we just don't have enough defense to keep people off the boards and stuff like that. If the threes aren't falling, we're just going to pray that we get enough turnovers to finish the game in a decent spot.
Yeah, we'll get into more NBA coverage once the NFL season comes to an end. But NFL is kind of like the mainstay right now. So our topic of the week, NFL divisional round, game by game recap. So starting off with the Niners beating the Vikings, I think this was pretty much the news fest of the weekend. It wasn't too exciting. It was kind of expected that the Niners are going to come out and beat the Vikings. And they got it done on the defensive side of the ball mostly. Kirk Cousins just, I don't know if he didn't have the greatest of games. You can't probably put it all on him, but I don't know. Not worth that big contract. I bet Minnesota's regretting that contract that they did.
Yeah, the 49ers had a lot of returning really good players come back. K'Wan Williams is now healthy. And they came off like a week's rest as well. The 49ers O-line has notoriously been bad, but if they can't get their running game going, it's just not very fun for them. Opening things up for Kirk Cousins. Dalvin Cook, 9 carries for 18 yards. That O-line is not very good at pass protection. It's only good at pass protection when Dalvin Cook has over 90 yards a game. It's basically the battle of the two pretty similar teams, except Minnesota obviously had a glaring weakness at their O-line, and I think that's where it really did them in, not too unsimilar to the Seahawks, who we'll talk about later.
Yeah, the Niners just have that really dominant defensive line and a secondary to back it up. Mm-hmm. So they're always going to bring pressure with Bosa off the edge, and they also have a few Oregon alumni coming off that line that are just really dominant. DeForest Buckner and
It's crazy player. How DeForest Buckner is like 6'4", 300 pounds, and he's not even the second best D lineman on that squad. It's pretty crazy.
Well, Eric Armstead too, and
yeah,
pretty dominant.
They bring
line.
they bring the size and speed both. It's a pretty dominant defense just physically on its own. And then they got Richard Sherman on the outside, who's like big, but he's also very technical with how he covers people and coverages and stuff like that.
Yeah, his physical abilities aren't there anymore, but he's still just a very smart football player and obviously has like a whole lot of playoff experience, including regular season experience. He's going to read the play very well. And as long as like his matchup isn't super physically imposing, like he can pretty much, he's going to make a play if you're going to throw it to his side. And that pretty much happened on that one play. Kirk Cousins looking at Adam Thielen the whole time, and Richard Sherman just read the route before Thielen even knew the ball was out. Yeah, it was a good play by Richard Sherman. Shout out to the former Seahawk. He's moving on. Yeah, so the Niners, like, rushing, I think it's interesting stories. That's the most dominant aspect of their game, their rushing game. Kind of like the Titans, they don't really rely on their quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo had a great first drive, but it was kind of just put on the shelf, and then they just handed off the keys of the running game. And Tevin Coleman returned to form, 22 carries, 105 yards, 4.8 average, and 2 touchdowns. Pretty good game.
Yeah, they kept everything. They kept everything between 10 yards. And the person that really stood out to me personally was Debo Samuel. Not Dabo, I'm watching the college football game, but Debo Samuel. Every time he touches the ball, same with Kittle, like they legitimately think that they can't not get tackled. He's like fighting for that extra yard, blowing people over when he could easily just step out of bounds for the first down. It's pretty crazy. He looks like such a hard-nosed player and someone that I think a lot of teams that took wide receivers in that first round, first and second round, wish they could have took.
Yeah, it's yeah, a pretty stacked like receiver class. Wasn't like a crazy performance by Debo. I mean, I didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of this game. I'm just looking at the stats. It was pretty tame for the most part on the passing side.
Yeah. I
don't think they needed much from their offense this game.
Yeah, he had not very many receptions, but I think he had 2 first downs, I believe, and that obviously that 18-yard reception. It was just everything on the ground. Whether it's Mostert mixing up with Mostert or giving it to Tevin Coleman to punch it in at the 1-yard line for the 2 touchdowns. The Vikings really did not stand a chance the entire game. Even that touchdown from Diggs, the cornerback Witherspoon, I believe, just fell down on the play. It was just an onslaught from the get-go. There was no chance for them coming back. Everything on defense, the 49ers just, like, incredibly fast. I don't know if that's a sign of their pure talent or what, but they just were flying around the field, tackling Dalvin Cook for losses, like, every other play.
Yeah, they just got playmakers at every level on that defense. The Niners on a whole just remind me a whole lot of the 2013 Seahawks. Just a really strong defense and a really great run game. And they don't really need like too much from the passing game. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to compare sophomore Wilson to Garoppolo. But yeah, they didn't really ask Wilson too much during that Super Bowl run. Like he would make plays on the third down when necessary, but it was mostly just relying on Marshawn Lynch.
On offense, we were scoring like 15 points a game, but on defense, they were just scoring points left and right. I wouldn't say the San Francisco defense was like scoring a lot of points, but where they lack in like turnovers and scoring opportunities, they make for them just pure consistency. I think Nick Bosa has obviously become a star this year as a rookie. He's been touted up as this really physical, aggressive pass rusher, and he's fit the bill for the most part all year. A little bit inconsistent, but that defense as a whole fills so many gaps with Solomon Thomas and just a bunch of pedigree on this team, just so many first-round picks. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. It's just as consistent.
You think Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa's brother, is a little jealous of his brother?
Oh, 100%. 100%. There's no way those two brothers are not competitive. I can see maybe J.J. Watt and T.J. Watt not being as competitive, but those two they wear their hearts on their sleeves. Maybe the Joey not so much, but maybe just because he's not in the media as much. But Nick Bosa definitely seems like that kind of person who's incredibly competitive all the time, especially with brothers and stuff like that.
Yeah, Joey must have been just like, fuck, man, you got drafted by the Niners and you guys are on a Super Bowl run? What the hell? I'm on the Chargers and like most of our home games, it's like 70% of the other team showing up here.
Yeah. I'd be embarrassed about just the jersey sales straight up. That would be pretty embarrassing. I guarantee Nick Bosa has more jersey sales than his brother Joey, and that pure popularity. And like you said, they don't have any home games. They don't have a stadium.
Yeah, because Joey Bosa had a pretty great like rookie year on his own part, but mm-hmm. the freaking wheels just fell off for the Chargers this year, and
yeah.
It's just not looking like a great situation for football. I mean, like 4 years. But meanwhile, the Niners just like beginning the start of this pretty dynamic run. I think they're going to be pretty good for the 4 or 5 years. So it's going to be tough for the Seahawks. NFC West on the whole is just getting stacked. All right, let's jump into the probably the most shocking result of the weekend. The Titans upsetting the Ravens 28-12. We were pretty wrong on this game. I think both of us had picked the Ravens. I think I picked them by 2 touchdowns at least. And, well, they lost by 2 touchdowns and a little more. I just think pretty much it's a Derrick Henry playoff MVP. Like, I think the case, if he beats the Chiefs next, if the Titans beat the Chiefs next week and Derrick Henry has another dominant game, like, I don't know, there has to be a award out there, playoff MVP, hottest performance, because he has just been on a tear. Oh,
yeah, it's an all-time record-setting set of 3 games. I didn't look up the stats exactly, but he's rushed over 1,000 yards in like 6 games. People can't get 1,000 yards in a season. I think it's an all-time 3-game stretch, and that's including regular season. This is in playoffs, breaking records that extend even into the regular season, where maybe you play a really bad team and rack up the points, rack up the yards. It's just a testament to this team that just keeps on improving its value of these players that in the offseason, we just nowhere on the radar. Nowhere on the radar was Tannehill a starting top 5 quarterback in the league as far as playoffs go. And nowhere.
He's not a top 5.
Of the quarterbacks in the playoffs, he's the top 4 in the top 4. So he's in the playoffs, in the top 4 teams. That's all I'm saying.
He is in the playoffs, but he's not doing anything, man. He comes out, he throws a touchdown, and then he kind of goes, sits down. He might come in for another performance. 88 yards. He threw the ball 14 times.
I understand that. He could be the Brock Osweiler of this playoff run. I totally understand that. But he is not messing anything up. That's the main thing. He's not turning the ball over. He's making good decisions. He's not doing crazy like plays like Josh Allen out there. But he's also playmaking when he really needs to on third down sometimes, or on second down, getting a conversion on with his legs, or whatever you really need him to do. He's just not messing up. Which
he's
is
the best game manager of all time so far in the playoffs.
Like Joe Flacco, he's going to claim he's elite in the offseason.
Well, Flacco, he was just very immobile, but he at least threw the ball more than 14 times and probably had more than 100 passing yards.
That's and true.
It's honestly just a testament to how crazy Derrick Henry has been. I mean, this is the second straight week in the playoffs that he's gone over 200-plus yards, even threw a touchdown in this to mix it up a bit. Pretty crazy.
Yeah, any running back that rushes for that amount, you got to bring more linebackers and more protection and more speedy coverage guys to get by these tight ends that are blocking or going open for the most open passes in the world for Tannehill to have a crazy completion percentage. Like any quarterback with that running back in that running offense is gonna succeed. I don't know. Tannehill is incredibly overrated. Like, I did read a pretty good article about this team that they could, and it was pretty interesting. They're talking about how they could use Mariota kind of like Taysom Hill. And
oh my gosh. How do you feel?
He's an incredibly athletic quarterback, but
how do you feel, Mariota? Now you're being compared to Taysom Hill.
Oregon alumni, whatever, but
he used to be Super Mario'd, man.
Yeah. A fall from grace, if you will. But yeah, this team, if they just started Tannehill from the beginning, is probably a 10-win team, easy. He started off the season 2-4 under Mariota's starts. But I think this article talks about how beat reporters were saying that Mariota kind of prepared the defense for Lamar Jackson. Whether that made a difference, Lamar Jackson did run for almost 150 yards, but they just tried to mimic their offense with Mariota, which, I mean, it's a pretty good comp. Mariota at his best is probably Lamar Jackson, and it's not a great comparison, but everybody's imagination when he was taken second overall was that he would turn out like Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, it's not been a great tale. I mean, I hope he maybe finds another team, he makes another run, because I'd like to see him play again. And he was pretty special in his rookie season until he got hurt. That talent is still there. I still have some belief in him, just as an Oregon Duck fan, I guess. And it'd be nice to see him find a home somewhere. Now, let's look at the Ravens side of the ball. I think it was just a conundrum. It just seemed like they would have drives going, and what worked earlier in the season, like going for it on 4th-and-1, being super aggressive, they went 0-for-2 on 4th down this game. And pretty much one of them cost them a touchdown, because I think they went for it on their own 40-yard line or something like that. And the next play, Tannehill had his one great play of the game where he threw like a 45-yard touchdown. But the other one was on a critical drive where they really needed it, and they just couldn't convert those 4th downs. And it was just very noticeable that Lamar Jackson was lacking weapons outside of Marquise Brown and Mark Andrews. And like, balls are just bouncing off people's hands. Mark Andrews had that ball go off his hands, which was the first pick by Lamar Jackson. I don't think you can really blame the game on Lamar Jackson. I think he was actually pretty great in this game. I think his stats that he put up would win you most games, because they would finish those drives. Just on a whole, it was what I noticed, people dropping balls left and right.
Yeah, so there was a lot of rust, I think, on this game. So believe it or not, the Baltimore Ravens ranked dead last in yards after the catch. So I don't know what this actually means, whether it means that Lamar Jackson passes it to his tight end a lot in the middle, whether it means that these guys aren't getting very open, or they're catching stuff at the sidelines a lot. I don't know what that means, but it was very evident in this game that after the catch, no one could make a play outside of Lamar Jackson. The Titans defense did a very, very good job of containing Lamar Jackson for the most part. I know he ran all over them.
43 yards. They did not contain him.
Okay.
Like, that was, he would scramble out. He was making time. He would probably buy himself 10 extra seconds. And then he looked down the field and see Willie Steen, Seth Roberts, Miles Boykin just being blanketed by the Titans defense.
Like I said, dead last and yards after catch. It was just, they didn't even need to run the ball. I think Mark Ingram was very injured. I think he was a lot more injured than he let on before the game, because he only got 6 rushes. Whether that means that they were just down by a lot and didn't run the ball very much, I think you could have handed the ball off to Mark Ingram or Gus Edwards on those fourth and shorts. I don't know why they didn't run the ball as much as they could have. It was still really early in the game when they were down by a lot. Lamar Jackson's throwing 30 balls a game. Whether that means it's just garbage time or they're just getting outscored like they did with the Chiefs, it's just a bad game plan when they can't get the ball on the ground running, going, like any team except for the Chiefs.
Yeah, ever since the Ravens went on that run, I don't think they've ever played a game where they had to come back So, because their last loss was against the Browns, where they've had to play from behind. So they weren't really, we never really saw that in a regular season where they had to come back from behind to win. It's not such a bad thing as looking at this next draft class coming up. It's just stacked to the brim with wide receivers. So I'm sure they can address some of these lack of weapon issues for Lamar Jackson. It's kind of perplexing that their defense, which was very solid during that crazy run the Ravens went on, they just got beat down by the Titans. It just kind of speaks to how good that Titans O-line is, because I think the Ravens were playing 8-man in the box, like basically prevent run defense, and it just didn't matter. I just had the feeling there's a play, I think Derrick Henry had like a 20 or 30-yard run, and Earl Thomas comes up and tries to tackle him. Henry stiff-arms this man so hard that he basically turns Earl Thomas around, and Earl Thomas starts running the other way. Pretty crazy play. I don't think I've ever seen Earl Thomas get like manhandled like that. But
treated like a kid, yeah.
Goddamn, that's kind of, just watch that play, and you pretty much watch that whole game, because it was just Derrick Henry just slapping aside the Ravens left and right.
Yeah, the Ravens on offense run a lot of two tight end sets. I think what they really need is a possession guy, kind of like Deebo Samuel, just someone who's really consistent in the middle of the field that's not Mark Andrews. I think they use him for blocking a lot, or him and Hurst for blocking a lot. He runs a lot of routes, but they do run a lot of two tight end sets to open the field up for Lamar Jackson, just someone consistent, like a better version of Willie Snead.
Lamar Jackson, I think he had an okay game. Like, it was great kind of stat-wise, but a lot of that was kind of what you're saying, garbage time. But he did have a couple of critical mistakes. I think that first pick to Mark Andrews probably wasn't on him. It was a little high throw, but Andrews had two hands on it, so he probably should have reeled that in. But he also threw another pick late, and he took a sack and fumbled the ball, which he was kind of hanging around the pocket too much and probably could have took off, but was left the ball out there and had another turnover. And especially when you're playing the Titans, who kind of play, just run the ball and don't turn the ball over at all, those mistakes are just critical. Man, we're just gearing up for this Titans Super Bowl run.
Let's hope not. I just, as fun as Derrick Henry is at running, I don't think it would be even close to the entertainment value of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl against either NFC team. What I thought the Ravens failed to do was just get the ball going on the ground. That's about it. Lamar Jackson had a pretty good game. I don't think he deserves all the hate he got. Not even close. Everyone likes to meme on him, but he did have 150 yards on the ground by necessity almost.
Yeah, so it's kind of one of those things where you get the regular season MVP, because he's pretty much a lock for that, or unless that has already been given out. But then you come in and you lose the first game of the playoffs as the number one seed at home. One of those rough things that people are going to remember. But I think it will serve as motivation for them. And I definitely think they're going to be pretty much back in those, probably get a first round bye next year, honestly.
Yeah, the AFC is a total mess. I have no idea. I think it was just rust. I think Titans, obviously coming off beating the New England Patriots, just came out hot. And towards the end of the game, I think the defense for the Ravens just really just floundered. I mean, Earl Thomas had the most tackles and the entire defense, and it's not a good recipe when one of the only sacks you got was from your safety at the goal line.
Well, Tannehill is only back there 14 times. Can't get many sacks if he's only throwing 14 times.
True.
So as of now, the Mike Vrabel has not denied that he will not cut off his penis yet. So that's an interesting storyline to follow. So let's move on to the next game. Probably the most exciting game, or it was, I don't know, both of these games on Sunday were very exciting, but the Chiefs topped the Texans 51-31. We definitely hit the over on this one. I think both of our predictions are right, but it didn't really wasn't really how we were expecting it to turn out, especially with the Texans coming out hot, going up 21-0, and then going up, they had a drive going on, got to 4th-and-1, and Bill O'Brien, being the coach he is, decided to kick a field goal. Decided to kick a field goal against the Chiefs. I guess he was trusting his defense. I don't know. I think you gotta go for it on 4th-and-1, especially if your team being as hot as they were at that time, and you're playing against the man. You gotta go for it.
I don't know what was more dumb, that not going for it on 4th in Chiefs territory, or the fake punt that they tried on 4th-and-1 in their territory, which turned the game into a 10-point game after being up 24 points.
I think he was trying to, like, outsmart everybody. He's like, well, I didn't go for a 4th-and-1 here, but I'm going to go for it here. They weren't going to expect this shit, and it just totally backfired on them.
Yeah, it was just the most crazy set of point, like, a series of events. Two plays and a touchdown for Mahomes right off the bat, essentially. And then they come and go do a four and out, and they go for it for the punt, and then they score within like 20 seconds of getting the ball back in Texans territory, and now it's a 10-point game. Going into half, I had no idea it was going to be this close, and within, I think, they scored a touchdown in the third quarter, and the total time they possessed the ball was like 12 minutes, and they put up 28 points.
Yeah, so that stretch from when it was 24-0, I think the Chiefs went on a three-touchdown run and scored three touchdowns in 4 minutes or something crazy like that. That Chiefs offense is kind of just unfair. I think they were, I don't know, they maybe had some bets going, or like, hey, how many points can we get down and then turn it on before we just start kicking their ass out there? Travis Kelce, whew, that was a bad boy out there. 10 receptions, 134 yards. 3 touchdowns. Holy cow. Yep.
It wasn't even fair. He looked like poor man's Gronk out there, just bullying the cornerbacks.
Oh, man. You call him poor man's Gronk after that?
I'm not going to call him Gronk with Kittle out there, right?
You can't call him poor man's Gronk. You got to just leave him in his own territory, man. Come on. You don't blame the man like that. Oh.
He was playing with people, and he was playing injured, which was pretty crazy. I don't think he went for an X-ray, but he definitely went into the locker room, and they came back out and then pleaded to Andy Reid to play some more, even though they're definitely going to win.
Yeah, it just kind of speaks to how many weapons the Chiefs had, because, I mean, Tyreek Hill, he only had 3 receptions for 41 yards. They just don't need to rely on one person. It can be any one of those weapons on the outside that can pop for them at any time.
Which was really depressing, because early in the game, everyone was dropping the ball. The Tyreek Hill fumbled a punt. There was 2 third downs where even Kelce dropped a ball for a conversion. And that's when all the wheels were, quote-unquote, falling off for the Chiefs.
Yeah, this was just, like, probably the most entertaining half that this playoff is going to offer, because, oh, man, easily. That was Texans. They just couldn't put it together. I don't know what happened to them after. They were just in a state of shock of what was going on. The Chiefs just kept on scoring on them, and, oh, man. Ugh.
Yeah, they were gifted 2 touchdowns, essentially. And then after that, just reading off the stats, Deshaun Watson had a pretty good game, like, all things considered. He didn't turn the ball over. Hopkins was playing hurt, but he still had 100 yards. You could tell, like, later in the game when I think he hurt his rib, I believe. And he caught the ball in the middle of the field, saw 3 defenders, and just fell to the ground. Not going to fight for that extra yard with a broken rib. I mean, most of it was garbage time, but they just couldn't punch it in, I guess.
Yeah. So it was how we thought it was going to turn out. The Chiefs blew them away, but it was definitely more interesting than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was just going to be the Chiefs going to go up by 2 scores and Texans maybe carve into it a little bit here and there. But dang, that was crazy first half.
Yeah, a lot of weird things happened in that first half against the Chiefs. The Chiefs looked objectively rusty, but I think they got the shock out of the way, where I think the Titans against the Ravens, the rust really never fell off for the Ravens. I do think Ravens were a bit of a better team, but that defense just wore out towards the end, and they kept it decently close in the first half, and I just don't think they got shocked into playing better until it was too late.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough to compare like Mahomes' performance to Lamar's performance, because I think Mahomes has just the way better. I mean, he's a spectacular talent, but he just has so many great options on the outside. It's just like unfair.
Yeah, with Tyreek Hill and Kelsey. And I mean, they didn't even use Damian Williams very much, but he's a pretty good pass catching running back too. Like,
yeah, he had 3 touchdowns. He was being used.
Yeah, in the red zone. Yeah, there's just so many places to go. Yeah, Sammy Watkins too, and they didn't even use him, and he's a first round pedigree talent.
Yeah, so Texans get sent home. I don't know what they need to address in the offseason. Probably that O-line, maybe a new running back. And they don't really run the ball that much too often, but they do have some deceiving weapons. So I think mainly probably their O-line and defensive side of the ball needs some work for them.
Just everywhere, I think. I think they just need to build their team like the Ravens did for Lamar. Lamar's team is literally built around him, and Lamar's good. Where DeSean Jackson is probably an MVP talent, and they have nothing around him to support him. No line, no defense to keep him off the ball, no running backs. Like, other than Hopkins there and Will Fuller, there's no real talent on that team. J.J. Watt is perpetually hurt. I don't think he's played a full season since his MVP year, I believe.
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I don't follow the great J.J. Watt too closely. All right, so let's jump into... It was the closest game of the weekend and pretty exciting second half, but the Seahawks do fall to the Green Bay Packers 28-23. Well, let's just go start of the game. The Packers came out pretty hot. They always have this pattern of coming up big in the first quarter, like first half. They just have scripted plays, I think, that they run. They usually score on their first drive, and that was the case here. They just exposed our secondary. I mean, it's been a problem all season, and Davante Adams just he eviscerated.
Yeah, nothing was really surprising in this game at all. Everything played out exactly how everybody thought it would. Our bad offensive line with all the injuries. No running game at all because we have no real talent. I mean, Marshawn Lynch is a cool story to talk about, but he is obviously old, and just running him up the middle and being really uncreative with these runs really hurt us. Our secondary, like you said, just got absolutely scorched and just did not come to play on any of the important downs that we needed. We just needed one conversion, one stop, but we couldn't do it. I think it was just... Like all of our games in the second half, Russell Wilson climbing back, and we almost did. I can't believe we did it.
They always make you buy in, don't they? I don't even want to watch the rest of this, but you know, the Seahawks score, and you're like, oh shit, okay, we got something going. And then the Packers scored again, and you're like, oh okay. But then the freaking Seahawks score again, and you're like, oh, we're getting closer. You just can't rely on the defense this year.
Clowney was hurt. Ansa went out, but Ansa was a complete shell of himself this year. Nothing on defense. I mean, we could stop the run because Clowney was out there. Clowney's really good at stopping a run. Ford was hurt. Just running down this list of all of our injuries, all of our running backs were hurt. Tight ends we lacked. Hollister is like a good underneath route kind of route running tight end, but we needed someone to block. Like anyone to help block. I think running 2 tight end sets maybe could have helped, but everybody was in, like all the DBs on the defense were in coverage.
Yeah, my only question is why was Trey Flowers out there on Davante Adams? Shaquille Griffin should be on him. I think he's the best like matchup and probably has the most speed to keep up with Adams. So we put Trey Flowers out there and he repeatedly getting burned.
Every play.
Kind of puzzling to especially on the last play. Well, wasn't the last play of the game, but that last drive by the Packers on that critical third down. I think it was Ugo Amadi was matched up on Davante Adams. Like, what the hell?
Yeah, we double-teamed him, but poorly. You had Hill coming over the top, but he didn't get there in time. It was just a perfect pass from Rodgers, to be totally honest with you. But obviously, just burnt his cornerback. We got a safety over the top, and Rodgers threw it in before the window closed.
Safety wasn't even in good position, though. And I think you, on an important play like that, you got to put, like, your stud on your stud. And I don't know if you think Shaquille Griffin's a stud.
He's our best guy. He's easily our best guy. And he's probably just slightly above average, but he's obviously our best guy. You got to make him shadow. I don't know what kind of defensive play calling that was, but you got to make him shadow the best receiver on the team, especially at half, where Davante Adams was just putting up numbers. You can make that adjustment at half.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what – I think it was something where they just kept him on – the right side of the field, kind of how they used Richard Sherman in the past. They just take away one side of the field.
But yeah,
they threw. He was just going to Adams all game. I don't understand why our game plan was just, yeah, let's just let Adams dominate us.
Yeah, and it's so sad to see Jimmy Graham be the one to cap off that game too.
He gets to stab a dagger in us for us not utilizing him.
Oh, yeah, not utilizing him. He gets, like, double-digit touchdowns that one year he was with us. Poor him. He has to block.
Yeah, he has to block. Well, he was mad, you know, coming off on a Saints where he's getting, like, 10 targets a game. Yeah. Fuck Jimmy.
It was a real depressing game. Like all Seahawks fans, it was just an emotional roller coaster where I really want to just be like, well, it was a good run, you guys. I'm just going to hang up my fucking attention span on the and not worry about you guys anymore. I appreciate that we went so far with our injury history, but they just kept me invested because I really do think at the end of the game we could get the ball back and win that game. Like, I really did. I really thought we could go to that NFC Championship, but when Adams caught that pass and that bad call at the end. I don't think it would have mattered, that call at the end where Jimmy Graham was short. They could just done a QB sneak and it would have been over. And then what? We'd have the ball in the 40. We'd have the ball in what, the 30 or 40? I'm not sure. I forgot. But
yeah, I'm not too sure about that spot, but it's pretty debatable because the yellow line, if they show like some pictures of it, it's actually like pretty far forward of the actual marker. So it's kind of deceiving.
Yeah, I saw those pictures too.
Yeah. But Wilson, you got to give the man his credit. He got the big contract this offseason, and I think he lived up to his big contract. It's just hard to build a team around when you have that quarterback with that massive contract. You just can't fill in those holes. And I think that's what really come back to bite us, especially when the primary guys are going down due to injury. You don't have that cap space to fill in with more talent on the defensive side of the ball or the O-line. It's going to bite you in the ass.
Yeah, you kind of got to get lucky with the guys you draft and on rookie contracts. I think the acquisitions we made over the offseason were pretty good. And I really do think if our team stays healthy, like the Tennessee Titans essentially have little to no injuries. They had Cameron Wake go out. That's about it. I think we're like a Super Bowl contender and we beat the Green Bay Packers. I really do believe it. I think our team full force with our running game with Chris Carson and our second punch, Penny.
Yeah, Rashard Penny.
Yeah. And right when Penny was doing good this year, he gets hurt with an ACL. It was just so many bad things happened to our running core, whether it was our O-line or just the running backs themselves.
Yeah, it was a good story to follow, seeing Pudgy Penny actually do something season, and then he finally gets hurt.
And our receiving core is pretty great now. I really, really, really like our receiving core, and probably more than previous years, even though, like, I love Doug Baldwin. But it's so fun to watch DK Metcalf burn people and go for these 50-50 balls and make some really clutch catches. Like, he doesn't have too many drops. He's not, like, a complete bust. He wasn't an injury prone player. I don't think he was dealing with any nagging injuries this entire season. Like, everything that could have went wrong didn't go wrong for our high draft pick. All right, I just hope he stays healthy because he's really good and he's fun to watch.
Yeah, going back to the game, the only questionable call outside of Adams being covered by Trey Flowers, I think, was on that last drive. It was Wilson threw the ball to, was it? He didn't even have the catch, so I can't pull him up in the stat sheet. But it was first and 10, and then he threw it ball like 15 yards to this receiver that I can't name. I think it was Turner.
Yeah, Turner. And it bounced right off his chest.
Bounced right off his chest. And that was a real killer right there. Just, but then
our practice wide receiver dropped the ball.
Yeah, I don't know why he's out there, but maybe he can actually be pretty good. I think he made some plays during the regular season. That was definitely a critical play. I don't remember second and 10, but third and 10, Wilson took a sack, and it set up like fourth and 15, but we were inside Green Bay territory, and we punted. What do you think about that call? Because I don't agree with that at all. In the moment, I was like, okay, we're gonna have to go for it here because, you know, it's, we might not get the ball again, but it's like fourth and 15, but you kind of have to just live with that.
I thought the same thing. We got two third down opportunities. I think we could have got the ball back. And if we just stop them at one of those two third downs, we get the ball back. One without a time, the one that Jimmy Graham converted, we get no timeouts and like a minute left. But I don't really know. Like, if you distrust your defense that much, I think you go for it. It's just how much you trust your defense.
In hindsight,
obviously you cannot trust them. But in reality, in the second half, they only had one touchdown and no points. I don't know if they were playing prevent defense the entire game for the Green Bay Packers, but our defense, yeah, I mean, you got to trust your defense a little bit. I guess Pete Carroll and the coaching staff trusted him a little bit. We are one play away from making it happen, giving the ball back to Russell Wilson, and probably the best fourth quarter quarterback in the league. Yeah, I don't know. It's really tough in the moment.
Wilson was just scorching hot in that second half. So I think you give him one more play there, because even I think they only gained like an extra 20 yards in field position due to that punt, because it ended up going out of bounds. But yeah, I think you got to give the ball to Wilson there for one more play, because he could either scramble for 15 yards. You'd probably do something crazy. I don't know. You could have thrown up to Metcalf. I don't know. I think you gotta go for it there.
Yeah, I think you do. In hindsight, it was a bad call, but I truly don't blame him that much for not going for it there. Like I said, you have two really big chances to get the ball back to Russell Wilson with around 2 minutes left. It's a hard call. Obviously, I would love to see them go for it on fourth, but Pete Carroll always just makes the wrong turn at the most crucial points of the game.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. Pete Carroll's like, he's our coach, so I mean, I don't hate him. He led us to a Super Bowl, so you gotta give him credit for that, and he led us to another Super Bowl where he made a questionable call at the end, but that's a story for another day. Going off for some last takes on the Seahawks as we bid farewell to them, I think the bright spots is obviously the wide receivers. Metcalf and Lockett are looking really great for the next few years. Wilson is still sensational. We're going to get our running backs back. Rashad Penny and Chris Carson should return healthy. And I think the main holes are, I don't know what's going to happen with Clowney, but that D-line kind of needs to improve. And so does that secondary. I think another competent safety to go alongside McDougald. I think Diggs is actually okay as well. I'm not sure if Trey Flowers is the man to man that second quarterback spot yet.
Yeah, I think our pass rush is the main thing we need to address. I think we signed Clowney in the offseason. I don't think we expected him to be a great pass rusher. He had a few good games. I know he was dealing with injury, but I really hope we don't sign him, because I know that he's a lot of money. I think a lot of teams would pay a lot of money for him. And with our salary cap, with paying Russell Wilson what we are paying him, I think we could just, like we did this offseason, just get a bunch of pieces to fill in the holes on defense. I think, I don't know, getting someone cheap like the Chiefs did with the Honey Badger, after coming off like two kind of disappointing seasons, like getting someone like that with a decent amount of experience that knows how to help our secondary, whatever we need to do to help our secondary. Like you said, Quandre Diggs was really good for us. Came in pretty clutch in a few games, but he's injury prone as well.
Yeah, I really hope they patch up that O-line in offseason. As much as I love Joey Hunt's flowing hair, I do not want to see him manning the center spot next year. Pete Carroll, GM, what's his name? Seahawks GM. Just draft some O-line. John Schneider. Please draft some O-linemen, maybe another cornerback, and maybe some D-linemen for us. That's all we ask. All right, you ready to do a playoff preview next week's championship games?
Yeah.
So let's probably, both these games are pretty interesting matchups, but let's go with the NFC championship round. Niners versus Packers. I'm going to just go off history here and pick the Niners, because from the regular season matchup, the Niners dominated the Packers at Lambeau Field. And it was pretty evident that the Green Bay O-line was no match for the Niners D-line. Rodgers was being harassed all game. I'm going to pick the Niners here. I don't know if the Packers have it in them. I don't think they've ever played a game where they've really needed a comeback. Most of their wins this year are they have a good first or second quarter, and they just kind of go to sleep at the wheel. And most of their wins are when they go up big and they just kind of hang around with their two touchdown lead. But I really think the Niners defense is not going to allow Rodgers to do much out there.
Yeah, I think they're going to, I mean, obviously their secondary is a lot better than ours. Rodgers had a pretty average game against us. I mean, he was really efficient against us, but it's also a terrible defense. I don't think he can improv his way in the second half to like a game-winning drive with only putting up 200 yards and two touchdowns on us. If they could just stop the run, I don't think the Packers can really do anything, even with a good game script. That 49ers defense is elite. It's arguably better than their offense, and their offense is above average, you could say. I can't say the same for Green Bay when they're throwing the ball or need to improv, and especially in the second half. They just need to have really creative play calling to get around this 49ers defense, and very few teams have even remotely succeeded at that.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Niners by like a touchdown here.
It's in San Francisco. I think I'll take them by a touchdown at two. I'm probably leaning more than a touchdown. I'll take them by 9 points.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Let's move on to Chiefs versus Titans. So what's on the line here? We got Mahomes trying to avenge his AFC championship from last year, where he had a crazy game against the Patriots. Probably was very deserving to go into that Super Bowl round. But he's got a chance here to get that AFC title and move on to the Super Bowl. For the Titans, it's Mike Vrabel's penis is on the line. So I don't know if he wants to win the game, but he probably
does. Guillotine.
It's getting up there. He's walking up to the guillotine. He's the hangman. He's staring him in the eyes.
All of NFL Twitter is in the crowd.
Yeah, he's like, Derrick Henry, can you just relax? I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready. But it's a really interesting game because these teams did play in the regular season as well. That was actually a really entertaining regular season game. I think the Titans came out on top by a field goal. Just going off the top of my head, I think the score was like 34-31 Titans. The Titans had like a last-minute drive to win the game. But there was a lot of entertaining plays in that game. I think Mahomes had a crazy jump pass to Mecole Hardman for a touchdown. That's just one of the highlights off my head. So I think this game is going to be very interesting because I don't know if the teams have changed much. I think Mahomes is probably healthier from that injury earlier in the year, and they've obviously...
He's fully back.
Yeah, he's... I mean, they showed it in the Texans game that their offense is ready to go. Their defense is still a little questionable, so it's... I don't know. It's a toss-up, man, because I picked the Ravens last week thinking, because the Ravens were one of the best teams, like, historically all time, and I just fucking slapped them around.
I think it's not going to be very close. I think the Chiefs are just going to run right over them. I think they score way too fast. I think their defense is kind of underrated because they've had a lot of injuries. I think Frank Clark is coming back into form. I mean, unless they get some pretty crucial turnovers, I think...
We're repeating ourselves. This exactly sounds like how we talked about the Titans last week.
Yeah, but the Chiefs are coming off a hot win. They just put 51 points on a playoff team. I don't know. I think coming off the Ravens coming off no playing for a week, and you could argue that they just had a lot of momentum in the regular seasons. That's why they were rolling over teams. They had a decent amount of close games. I think the rust really got to the Ravens. With the Chiefs, not the case at all. They're rolling, and they actually really want it. And Mahomes is 120% back. I think if the Chiefs wide receivers just don't drop as many balls as they do, they're going to blow them out. I think the only chance for the Titans is just to run the ball out and eat the clock up as much as they possibly can. But then the Chiefs can score in like 10 seconds, where I think the Ravens were a pretty prolific running team, and they did run out the clock a lot. They didn't have as many plays like as you think. I think that's because they were blowing teams out. But
yeah, I don't know, man. My heart is telling me to pick the Chiefs, but the Titans are just a crazy story. Okay, like no one expected them to beat the Pats. I mean, I think some people actually kind of expected them to beat the Pats. I was actually kind of on the Titans side because I didn't think the Patriots would. That great on the offensive side of the ball anyways, but I had not the slightest hint of faith that they would beat the Ravens at all. And man, I can't pick them, right?
I'll pick them. I don't care. It's the Chiefs. Not only because I think they're just better, it's because it's the more entertaining Super Bowl. I'm shooting for the more entertaining Super Bowl.
I don't want the Titans because they just run the ball. It's a little boring, but it's also just crazy when you look in hindsight and this Henry is destroying a team's will with every carry and destroys another defender every single run. It's just, I don't know, man. But
Henry is very good, but he also has to put up what? I mean, he put up what, 180 against the New England Patriots, and they only had 14 points.
He's only improving. He put up 195 this week on the ground.
True.
He's going for 200 this game.
I just think the Chiefs just have too much firepower. They just do. Mike Vrabel,
genitalia is on the line.
I don't think Mike Vrabel can stop the Chiefs. There's no way. There's no way.
He's got coaching magic. He's Belichick's pupil. He's going to scheme up something. I'm going to pick the Titans by 3.
Andy Reid's going to sit on that meathead. It's over. It's over for the Titans. It was a fun run. You rode fucking Derrick Henry's fucking legs to this point. Now it stops. He's going to have to run for 300 yards.
Mike Vrabel's genitalia, is that what you're telling me?
Yes. That seems like it's something that Andy Reid would do, 100%.
All right. Well, it goes against everything in my body. I'm going to pick the Titans by 3.
Oh, my God.
We'll see how this is either the best or worst call of all time. But I'm very excited for next week's game.
Chiefs by 7. That's what I'm going with. I'm not even hesitating. I'm not going to even think about it. Chiefs by 7, by full touchdown.
I'm going to meme on you if the Titans win.
I'm looking forward to it because it's not going to happen.
All right. Super Bowl matchups, least entertaining, most entertaining. I guess this is pretty clear. I think the most entertaining There's been a lot. It's been floating around on Twitter. The Packers versus Chiefs, just for the pure State Farm commercial entertainment value.
We're gonna watch a 3.5 hour commercial. That's basically what we're gonna be watching. I want 49ers Chiefs. That would be the most entertaining for me. And the least entertaining is pretty obvious. It's Titans Packers. No way. No way in hell. No, that's the most boring. No, it doesn't. I don't care how many yards Derrick Henry puts up.
Titans Niners is way. It's just two teams running the ball and two incompetent quarterbacks. It's the least exciting quarterback matchup of this. Tannehill versus Garoppolo, Jimmy GQ, who's been okay, and Tannehill, who hasn't thrown over 100 yards.
Who do you think has increased their value the most? Tannehill from where he was the offseason or Derrick Henry?
It's tough, man, because the history of paying great running backs big money, it just doesn't really pan out that well. I mean, Lev Bell, Todd Gurley, it's just these running backs, they're an injury-like liability. Just, you never know with them, you never know if they're going to be the next Frank Gore. But the history tells us that running backs are going to get injured, and I would not put a whole lot of money into the running back position, especially most of the rushing leaders are first or second year guys. So I don't think he's been great. He's been awesome, but I would not pay him like above whatever the salary cap or what is it, franchise tag value is.
I don't think you have a choice. I think you have to pay the man after he puts up a historic thing. I don't like as the Titans. What are you gonna do? Just let him go. He's gonna play for the New England Patriots, or he's gonna play for the Buffalo Bills. Like I don't know. It's pretty tough to keep someone like that. He could play for us, the Seattle Seahawks. That's someone who would be signed for a stupid amount of
that
money.
Any sense that the Seahawks?
That makes a decent amount of sense if we're trying to run the ball. The two-headed monster as Chris Carson and Derrick Henry, 100%, right? Maybe the Chargers. Oh,
he's gonna come into this game with 5,000 carries, and so he's gonna enter the off season with probably 7,000 carries. So Derrick Henry's he's gonna get worn down, man. Like you can't give a man 100% carries.
If you asked a 5-year-old to draw like a prototypical running back, he'd probably draw Derrick Henry. I think he's just, yeah, like you said, running backs aren't like Frank Gore is the exception, obviously, but they never last long as good as you are. It's like you maybe get 4 years of really good running back if you don't counter any injuries. Like Saquon Barkley is already dealing with injuries, but I think he'll bounce back, but.
Okay, well, so let's just move on from the Super Bowl matchups. I'm excited for the next slate of games. We got some interesting picks. We both picked the Niners, and I picked the Titans by 3. He picked the Chiefs by 7, which is what my head and everything is telling me to pick. But
have you been wrong that much? I feel like we've been pretty good, except for the one that everyone failed on was the Titans versus the Baltimore Ravens.
God, I wonder how much money you would have won if you bet the Titans.
Some crazy Tennessee fan is sitting on a pile of money. It's like uncut gems.
Did you see that? I haven't seen it yet, so I have no idea.
It's pretty good. It's really good. I like it a lot. It's a really fun movie.
Yeah, good old Adam Sandler.
Yeah, he plays a really good role in that. It's like not anything you've ever seen Adam Sandler do, but he plays it really well.
I'll put it on the watch list. So let's move into the next category. Let him eat.
He's heating up. He's got smoke coming off his fingertips. Are you kidding me? He's as hot as a blowtorch.
It's a heat check. You knew that was coming. It's heat check time.
So performance / player of the week. So our man, Derrick Henry, again, on our list. Patrick Mahomes, and as a subset of that, Travis Kelce. So, it's tough, man. Just for entertainment value, I think I would pick Patrick Mahomes. He was most fun to watch this weekend. 321 yards, 5 pass TDs. He also rushed for 53 yards. Just out there making crazy throws once again, and he kind of took the torch from Lamar Jackson as he fell down against the Titans. And now he's must-see TV, and you really want him in the Super Bowl because he's just fun to watch, man.
Yeah, I think entertainment value goes to Patrick Mahomes, but I think Derrick Henry capped off his historic run. I am going to go back-to-back weeks, Derrick Henry, because just the history of it, I'm going to be real nerdy about it. As much as I don't like watching him run, it's just like a fumbling, bumbling, really fast dude. I got to pick Derrick Henry. It's never been done before. I imagine sometime down the line, we're going to be talking about how crazy this is, crazy Derrick Henry's run was.
It's never especially been done if he comes insulting the man that you pick as player of the week and then picking him.
Hey, man.
I really don't like to watch him run. He's kind of boring. He's a big, fast guy, but yeah, I got to give it to him.
I mean, you have to. I don't know. It's inevitable. He's Thanos out there. Benevolently run.
So I'll pick Mahomes, but can't go unmentioned. Kelce was amazing. 10 receptions, 134 yards, 3 touchdowns.
So... yeah, maybe he'll get it to Gronk level.
Just don't trash him as poor man's Gronk, man. That's pretty insulting.
Well, I mean, it's pretty accurate.
Damn. All right. Let's debut our new segment, Weekly Showdown. You got in the stands, like you're at the game, you get to see it in person versus watching at your house on the big screen. So I don't know, you want to go first or should I go first? I think you should go first.
Okay, so I think stands is the best, and it's obviously the best because you get to feel the energy of the crowd. I don't think I've ever been to a sit-down party, whether it's a Super Bowl party or whatever, that had the same amount of energy as actually being in the stadium. Just the buzz of the stadium itself is enough to go to the game. It covers the cost of admission, straight up, wherever you sit. I think if you're watching a shitty game, it could have potential to be really bad. You get the weather elements, who cares? If it's a really good game, you're jumping up and down and you're keeping yourself warm. That might be just a Northwest thing. I don't care. I've been to one of the best Blazer games of all time. I will never forget it ever in my life. It's hands down the best. There's nothing that competes with it. You're high-fiving people. You have no idea. You've just met for the first time. You're screaming at the top of your lungs. You're paying way overpriced food, and it doesn't matter. It still doesn't matter. It's the best. You're eating too hot of coffee or hot dogs and eating shitty food.
Damn.
Yeah, you're eating coffee and you're drinking hot dogs at this point. That's how crazy it is in the stadium. Go ahead.
Pretty hot there. Pretty hot there. It's hard to defend. But okay, let's just start off. Watching TV is a natural part of our lives nowadays. And I don't know about you guys out there, but I got this fat-ass TV to stare at, and it's just amazing. I get the best seat in the house. Guarantee I don't have to freaking worry about shit out here. When I turn on the game, I know I can see everything. I'm not fucking up in the nosebleeds and next to some fucking guy that's sick as fuck and he's gonna get me sick. I'm down watching the field. I get the best angles. I get instant replay. I get $1 beer basically, because at the stadium I'm paying $1,000 per beer or $5,000 for a fucking pretzel. So I there is nothing that can replace the excitement of being at a game that is a great game and that whatever team you're rooting for wins. But just the level of consistency, because you can be at a game and your team can, and it just kind of sucks. You know it sucks. Like deep inside, you're like, oh, I paid money and we fucking lost. This is a waste of time. Unfortunately, I've been to like 3 out of 4 Blazer games. We fucking lost and it sucks. It's fun if you're in the game, but when you lose the game, you're like, oh, well, that was fun. 2 hours and we fucking lost. And I could have just watched that home and saved all this money. But one more case against watching TV versus in the stands. In the stands, there's always that fucking asshole, drunk ass with his ass, He's loud as fuck, and he's just fucking spilling beer all over you or your wife, your kids, and now everybody's upset, and not anybody is having a good time because this guy, he's a fan of your team or he's a fan of the other team. He's just obnoxious, and he's guaranteed to be within 25 meters of you, and he's probably going to spill beer on you somehow. So that is my case, and I'll end it there.
Great argument.
It's tough, man, because I love being at a game when you win, and I know that you were at that Game 6 Houston, and
yep.
Like, I don't think there's anything that can compare to that experience, because like you said, when you try to remember games, you're going to remember the ones that you were at. Like, it's hard to remember a watch party game.
Highs are highs and the lows are lows. Yeah, I'm just thinking about like bad football games I've been to. I think it's just some of the worst experience of my life. Like sitting in like freezing weather in like nosebleeds, watching a football game that you're not even winning. It's just awful. I don't think I'd rather do anything else than that. But like bad football games where it's just fucking cold because of the Northwest, or it's raining and windy. Like, there's no reason to be there. You might as well. I mean, it doesn't matter how much you paid for those tickets. You should just go home. Unless it's the NFL ticket where you're literally paying thousands of dollars to be there. Yeah, it's just not worth it. But, yeah, definitely the highs are highs. If you were at that Seahawks-Green Bay in 2014 game, you'll never forget it. If you were at, any of the playoff games for the Blazers, you're never going to forget it. Going to that quadruple overtime game against the Nuggets, you'll never forget it.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like whenever there's a bad game, that's the nice thing, is that when you're at home, you could just be like, well, I don't want to watch this anymore. I'll just look at the scoreboard at the end. So let's jump into last call. Do you want to talk about The Witcher? You got any
yes.
hot impressions? All right, so
it's not really a hot impressions. Yes.
Spoiler alert.
So I really like The Witcher. I came in it with just the lowest expectations. Pause. I came to the show with very low expectations. I thought it was going to be bad CGI. I thought it was going to be bad writing. I thought Henry Cavill was going to be bad because I don't think he's a particularly good actor. Not just because of Superman. I just thought he was going to be a bad actor. I thought all the other characters were going to be poorly written because I think the history of Witcher is really deep and it's like kind of hard to explain, but I just thought they did a really good job with it. Like everything was like either good or great. I thought the fight scenes were like movie quality fight scenes. I think the writing was really good. The quote unquote boring parts were well written. I just didn't feel very bored throughout the entire show, whether it was the good writing or the really cool action scenes. I just liked it front to back. Even with the overarching like three story arcs going at the same time, I thought everyone was like pretty compelling. They're all completely different, and it all set up for the ending fight, which I thought was the most underwhelming, but it was also really cool at the same time. It was like a lot of CGI, and with too much CGI, I think it could get kind of crazy, especially for a TV show, and it kind of looks bad, but I thought it was all right. It wasn't like terrible or anything, nothing that I would like deem bad.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up like the episode list, because like I just, like you said, we're both pretty big fans of like The Witcher. We both played The Witcher 3, and that was a crazy video game and on its own right, but like you said, I didn't expect much going into it. I tried not to watch too many trailers, but Henry Cavill definitely stood out. I think he was probably the best performer of the show. I liked the bard too. He was great. But
really funny. Really funny.
I think like the first episode was the high mark. I loved the first episode, the way it was written. It was set up, it was like dark and gritty, and like the end fight scene was incredible. Like great choreography. And that was like, I was like, okay, I'm like all in. And I think it was pretty good for like episode 2, 3, and 4, but I don't know. It just kind of lost me as the season went on. It just kind of felt like it was droning on. And once you figure out that there's three different storylines going on and that they're on different timelines, like, I thought that was cool once I figured that out. Like, it was like maybe the third or fourth episode that they kind of hint to that. It just kind of started losing me in the later episodes. Like, I just wasn't as interested, and I just kind of wanted it to hurry up and for all three of them to meet. And like you said, the climactic end battle I thought was very underwhelming. And like, yeah, Geralt was barely in it. He had that cool scene where he kills, like, I don't know, ghouls or something.
Yeah, those undead people or whatever.
Like, that was cool, but he probably should have been in the last fight a little more, because, I don't know, most of the time, like, wizardry fighting isn't very entertaining. And I don't know, what do you think of the girl actress? I thought she was okay, and she's in it a lot, and I don't know if I was, like, crazy about her performance. It, like, wasn't overwhelming or anything like that.
Are you talking about Ciri or Yennefer?
Ciri.
Ciri? Yeah, I thought she was kind of just, I don't know, I thought she had pretty interesting, like, things happen to her. I don't think there was many acting parts. I think she cried a lot. That's about it. I don't think she had very many, like, talking scenes. I think it's, I don't know. I thought it was interesting how she maneuvered through, like, she came across that camp. I thought that was a pretty good scene where they talked about, like, adopting her and they, like, treating that midget, like, poorly. And then, like, that midget stabs the, like, headmistress when shit hits the fan. I thought that was kind of funny. I just thought, like, the things that she did during that were more pretty interesting, but she didn't really do anything. She didn't really act very much. So I get what you mean.
Yeah. Like,
I just, yeah. I know what episode you probably dislike the most, the Beauty and the Beast episode.
Well, remind me of that one again. Which
it's basically where Ciri's mom marries Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh yeah, that was boring. Like, it was super.
I gotta get that. That was probably the worst episode. I didn't mind it that much. There's a lot of lore in that episode that even I like Witcher a lot. I was just some of it. I was just like, okay, I don't really know what this means. I don't know where I kind of know where Skellige is. They're on an island, but I know none of these people.
I had no idea. They should have gone the Game of Thrones route and gave me a map so I could have followed along, because yeah, they were jumping around all over the place out there.
Yeah, I thought the witch stuff, like Yennefer's story, was surprisingly entertaining. I did not expect that at all. That's probably what, like, put it over the edge for me. I get how you probably, like, some people might have thought that was boring. I didn't think it was that boring.
Well, I thought the first, like, her origin story, where she's, like, I don't know how to describe it. She's, like, a hunchback, essentially.
Yeah.
Episodes where she's a hunchback, I actually thought those were probably the best, like, wizard episodes or witch episodes. What are they, wizards in this?
Witches, wizards, ghouls.
Yeah, but
Warlocks.
The first few episodes where they're setting up the lore and her backstory, I thought were very interesting. I actually liked those episodes, but once she got to be all beautiful again and whatnot, I don't know.
Load up.
Her character wasn't as, like, interesting anymore, and I don't know. Her motivations just never really felt very strong. So, yeah. So,
I liked her motivations. Like, she, like, wanted to be pretty because her boyfriend thought she, like, said something mean to her. Like, I kind of get it, and then she regretted it, and it kind of sets up that, like, oh, I want a kid, and then Ciri falls into her lap, her and Geralt's lap, essentially, where they're basically, through some spells or whatever, bound to each other, right? Like, I thought that was kind of interesting, and how they converged all the stories. I just thought it just completely blew me away. I guess, like, a lot of money went into this, obviously. I didn't really do a whole lot of research into it, but it just seems like a lot of money went into it. I thought where Yennefer was getting her uterus pulled, or her fucking whatever, yeah, uterus pulled, and Geralt fighting that, oh, fuck, what was it called? It's like the zombie princess.
Sure.
Yeah, you know what I mean. The big fight that Geralt goes on.
She was a aborted baby monster. That's what.
Yeah. I thought that was, like, pretty cool, cutting back and forth between the two. Basically, I guess
Yeah, that was one of that was the earlier episode. So I liked the first four episodes essentially, and then it just kind of turned into a slog, and I wasn't very interested. I liked the queen a lot. I don't know what kingdom it was, but she's like in a lot of scenes.
Yeah, Centralia or something.
Yeah, it's Centralia.
Centerland. Anyway, I thought one of the worst episodes was the dragon episode. Oh, that dragon was animated so poorly. It looked like, have you seen Aragorn? Remember that dragon book? And they came out with a movie.
I did not waste my time watching that movie.
That's how bad the fuck is. Like early 2000s, it was like a young adult novel that they turned into a movie. It was like at the beginning of like Harry Potter, where everyone was like adapting young adult films into movies because they thought it could get a lot of money. And it was just a shittily animated dragon movie, and it looked exactly like that except worse somehow. And the fight scenes weren't even good in that episode.
Yeah, that was definitely the low light. And that was episode 5. That's just when the series took a turn.
Yeah. Definitely.
It was okay. It just, because I was like really enjoying it, really into it. And then episode 5, from there, the dragon episode, it just kind of went meh. But I'm excited for the next season. I wonder how, if they're going to do any more kind of gimmicky things with like 3 different timelines going on, or if they're just going to straight up follow one storyline now. So I'm interested to see what they do with that.
They could do like a time jump, right? They could do like when Siri is like an adult, because they're like kind of all together now at this point.
Yeah, but I think they're trying to follow the books more. And I don't know where the books jump around to. I don't know. We'll see. I think it was an interesting Netflix series. I mean, it's obviously what you said, like, is very high quality for a Netflix. Some of the CGI was good, some of it was bad, like the dragon you don't want to speak of, but overall, like, I enjoyed it for the most part, but I'm also pretty nerdy, so.
Yeah, I think if you don't really know the Witcher storyline, I can guess that it was kind of confusing for some people. There's a lot of lore into it, like, all of the witch courts and stuff like that, they didn't really explain any of that at all. It's just like, yeah, there's a lot of fucking witches and they manipulate kings, and that's all you really need to know. Like that castle that at the final like battle, that castle that they fought at was like an important castle, I guess. I don't need to know.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it for what I wanted to talk about, unless you got anything else.
No, I'm good.
All right. Later, man.
Later.
9/10 left. 3 wins the series. It's Lillard. He got the shot off.